Pastor Doug Mitchell.
You there?
Am I on? Well, praise God. It is good to be back with you folks. And we are so glad, my wife and I and family, we count it a privilege when any pastor ever allows somebody else to fill their pulpit. And so we do count it a privilege to know Pastor Jay and Pam and their family. Last night we invaded their vacation and actually went to their home and had barbecue. So it was kind of neat. We invaded a little of their vacation and had a chance to just have some fellowship and be with them. And they are just such wonderful people. You are so, so blessed to have pastors like them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And also, just wonderful people here that are here that serve in the ministry. You know, it's so nice to know Ted and Kim and just getting to know you over the last couple of years. It's been really, really neat. But once again, it's an honor to be here today. And I believe that God has a word for us in due season, a word that can change our lives. Anytime that you come to the Word of God, it should do one of two things for you. It should either strengthen a belief that you already have about God and His Word, or it should form a new belief or give you, if you will, new light or new revelation on a subject that maybe you hadn't seen that way before. How many understand what I'm talking about? Currently, this year in our church, the Lord spoke to me in the early part of the year and said that we were to be about growing, and that was to gather the people together, that was to respond to the Holy Ghost, to overcome obstacles and win the lost. Now, if you just followed what I just said, that is an acronym for GROW, and He told us to grow. And, you know, many times when God gives you something like that, you kind of put your own interpretation on it. You kind of figure out, okay, Lord, what do you mean by this? And you kind of walk it out because you walk it out by faith. But I'm seeing what God is doing. And just this last week, we had several people come to know the Lord. We're actually getting to the W part of GROW, and it's exciting. Now, we can, you know, and the Lord showed me this. I thought maybe we'd go through each phase, you know, gather, respond, overcome, and win, and woo, we're there. And how many know sometimes you're in the middle of overcoming obstacles when you're supposed to be doing the other stuff? Amen. You know what I'm talking about, right? And so, you know, we've been going through a season as a church trying to find a building, and God's just, you know, I believe He's getting us ready, and it's so encouraging when we come to a beautiful facility like this. It just kind of encourages us and says, yes, God will. And not only will He, but He will for us. And it's exciting when you see that. It's exciting to be in a church that God is doing things in and being a part of that. So this last week we had how many salvations? I'm sorry, 10 salvations just this last week. About 3 weeks ago we went, started just obeying God and going door to door. Now, I got to be honest with you. I grew up, and the only people who went door to door were the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so there's a certain aversion sometimes where we talk ourselves out of it and say, I don't want them to think I'm one of those. How many know what I'm talking? Come on, be honest. You're looking at me in a funny tone of voice this morning. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. Don't miss what God has for you. He's got a word for you. But sometimes we kind of talk ourselves out of the things of God because of maybe the way we see it. And so for the last 3 weeks, we've been going out, just going into the community and going out and just saying, hey, we just want to let you know we're here. We don't have a sign. We're located in an office building. We've been there for almost 10 years. And so a lot of people, we actually had a woman get saved a couple weeks ago, and she said, you know, I've lived in this town for 14 years and didn't know that you were here. And so we started really sensing God says, do something about that. Do something about that. So we actually just started, well, what can you do? Well, we went out into the community. And we have seen God do some really neat things. And now there's such an excitement. There's just an excitement. We had a movie night just two nights ago. And, you know, we had so many people from the community show up that we just were amazed. We were like, okay, where did all these, and most of them were kids and youth. And we said, wow, Lord, what are you doing here? And when the altar call was given for movie night, many of those same young people and children raised their hands. And so that's what it's all about. Amen? Well, praise God. Let's go to the Father in prayer. I believe that God's given me a word for you today, for this church, for this time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy written word. We thank you, Father God, once again for the privilege to bring your powerful, life-changing word into this place, into this house, into this congregation. Thank you, Father God, for truth impartations. Thank you for revelation by the Holy Ghost. Thank you for teaching me as I teach. God, that people's lives would be changed, forever changed. Thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. You have an outline there that we're just going to follow along today. The title of my message today is Favor with Purpose. Can you say favor with purpose? Say favor with purpose. That is the title of the message today, because I believe that we live in such a day where believers need to understand favor a little better than we do. And so God began to deal with me in the springtime of this year and just began to open up some things about favor. And so the first thing I had to do is I had to get rid of some of my preconceived ideas of favor. You know, sometimes when we look at a subject, if we're not careful, we will look at a subject and just gloss over it and say, well, I kind of know about that. And then what we'll do is we'll rob ourselves from the Holy Ghost giving us any further light. And so I'm just going to be honest with you that I kind of thought favor was like my little favor shield. And the next slide that we have just talks about the scripture that is our opening scripture, Psalm 5:12. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. And so I kind of had in my mind a little shield like this, you know, maybe about this size, that just said, oh, okay, I got a promotion at work. Boop. Little favor shield. Or, boop, I got a parking spot. First one at the mall. Didn't have to walk very far. Favor. And boop, here's my favor shield. And I, you know, and we look at sometimes things in just a very limited fashion. And God says, I want to open you up. I want to show you some things that actually can change and revolutionize not only your life, but those around you. Because how many know it's not about you? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not about you. So I'm confessing that I had this concept that my favor shield was about this big. And that, you know, and I'm a faith guy. Okay, let's believe God for favor. You know, when you go in to get something or you go in for an interview, let's believe God for favor. I'm trying to return this product that's not working right. It's past the return policy. Let's just believe God for favor. Dink. And God began to show me, he said, although that's true, and favor works in every one of those areas, and I'm not negating that, that he wanted to show me that favor was far bigger than that and far much more than that. And so he began to show me some things about favor. And so there in your outline, it says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and men. So couple that with our opening passage there in Psalm 5 and 12, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. God desires us to be surrounded with his favor. Now, his favor is something that's powerful. It's bigger than just the front parking space at the mall. Oh, folks, this is good. And if you'll just give me just some time today, I believe that God will show you some things that he's showing me that last night I was getting more light and more revelation on this. And I've already preached this series at my church, and I said, I didn't get to do that at my church. God, why'd you do that? And he says, oh, because this church needs to hear this. I said, okay, when can I go back and tell that to my church? You know, so now I got to wait on him for that, right? But here's the thing. If favor is a shield, if Jesus grew in favor and wisdom, you can grow in wisdom and favor. And that means there are some keys to doing that. And this is what the Lord began to share with me. And we're going to go through these rather quickly because I want to get to the application part of this. Because, that, man, that's where some light kicked in. Kicked in late last night, early this morning, and I was like up and everybody's in the hotel room snoring away. And at one point, I just wanted to get up and do a glory dance. And if you've never done one, well, you need to try it sometime. You know, the sister got up and said that we're free. You know, sometimes we just need to get up and run a little bit. It's good for you. And I need to run a lot. All right. Moving on. All right, so here we are. Favor. The Lord began to deal with me, and he said, listen, if they're going to grow in favor with God and man, they need to learn the components of favor, how to cooperate with favor. And first of all, let me preface this by saying, none of us, in Ephesians in chapter 2, it tells us, you know, you're not saved by what you can do. And you can't earn this favor. You can't earn any of the gifts of God. But you can cooperate with the plan of God in your life. That's how you got saved. You cooperated with his plan. You received Jesus Christ. You received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and it changed your life. How many know what I'm talking about? You had to cooperate with the plan. The plan was here, solid as a rock, but unless you cooperated with the plan will not benefit you. And so we don't earn the favor of God, but boy, you can cooperate with it. And it will change not only your life, but everyone around you. Now, the first element that we need to understand when it comes to favor is faithfulness. That's your first blank. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is becoming even more rare today than it was in 20 years, 30 years, 50 years ago. Faithfulness is a very rare commodity. I'm reminded of what one person used this line in a Christian play. They said, humility is like a precious jewel, very, very rarely worn by men. And I think humility is and faithfulness are very similar in that faithfulness is like a precious jewel, very, very rarely worn by Christian men or women. Because faithfulness is an element, it's a cooperation element to the favor of God. If you want to grow in the wisdom and favor of God, then I suggest you check up on your faithfulness. Proverbs 9, let's turn to, I'm sorry, Proverbs 3:3. We'll just turn to one of these scriptures. I listed several there for you to go ahead and view on your own. But for time's sake, we're going to, you know, just maybe touch on one of these. But in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 3, we're going to go ahead and look at that one as far as faithfulness. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. If you're going to have the favor of God and that faithfulness element, then you're going to have to not forsake truth. You're going to have to understand that you have to bind them around your neck. You have to take God's truths and apply them to your life in a powerful way, in an application fashion. Faithfulness is a key component to favor. Faithfulness. Now, when I was growing up in the ministry, there was, one of the key things that the leaders in the ministry that I served in and really began to get discipled and trained in was faithfulness. They looked at whether or not somebody was faithful before they let them do certain things. Case in point, when I first walked in, I knew I had the call of God on my life, and I walked into the church, you know, and I'm all of about 18, 19 years old. I was 17 when I first came to the church, but by the time I was 18, I really thought that, I was called of God, and this was a church of about 600 people, and at that time that they should be asking me to at least preach on Wednesday nights. Now, I understand that Sunday morning would be for Dr. Lee, but I was called of God. And I'll never forget one of the first things that they said to me. I remember one day I was down in front at the altar, and the pastor looked at me, and I think he recognized I had a call of God on my life, but he also understood that that call had to be formed and fashioned, and I had to be trained and disciplined, and that there were things about that calling that he needed to help me with. How many understand? Okay. We all need a little help. Glory to God. And, you know, and so one of the things that he said to me, he says, I want you to meet me in my office, and I want you to come. And but I need you to come in blue jeans, okay? And I thought, oh, okay, maybe he's going to pray with me. I don't know. He seems like a really cool dude. Maybe he wears blue jeans. And I was hanging out with the youth on fire for God, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget, I met him in his office, and he says, I want you to meet Brother So-and-so. And I turned, and he's in a suit, that is the pastor. But Brother So-and-so was in, like, maintenance clothes. And he looked at me and he said, go with Brother Joe and do whatever he tells you to do. Brother Joe had the big ring of keys. And Brother Joe, he says, well, I have to take you to a special room. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe they're taking me to the prayer room. And they took me to the men's room and handed me the toilet brush. And I had to learn faithfulness. And it wasn't until about another, I want to say it was about another 3 years. But then there was finally a day where I preached. And I'll never forget, not long after that, I even got to preach on a Sunday morning double session services. And it was, I mean, I felt like I was a kid in a brand new sports car. You know, I thought, this is amazing. I mean, but there was a faithfulness price. And so if you want to actually grow in the favor of God and grow in wisdom, then you need to check up on your faithfulness. What is your word what you say it is? You know, and I'll tell you who will be the most used by God to tell you when you need to adjust your areas and make sure that they're in line. Your family, your kids, your wife. It's not just your employer. You know, because I've met men that, you know, they'd never be late for their employer, but, you know, when it comes to maybe not keeping their word to their family, come on. I'm not trying to meddle here. I'm just saying we need to check up on faithfulness. Just turn to your neighbor, elbow him real good, say it's going to get better than this. The next thing is availability. Availability. If we're going to grow in favor, in the favor of God and man, then we need to be available to when God begins to deal with us or when people, God's servants, need to call on us. And so turn with me, if you would, really quickly to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We're going through some of these things. As I said, this was about a four-week series at my church, and so I encourage you to study some of this out on your own. Make notes, look up some references on your own. Run the reference, as Brother Hagin used to teach us. Look up other scriptures that may pertain to the same subject matter. But in verse 59, Jesus is speaking, and he said to them, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, and this is speaking to a man that was wanting to follow him. Verse 57, I'm sorry, says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, those are some strong words. Those are strong words about availability. When God says to do something, we need to learn to obey the first time. One of the things that we have done, you know, and we're still in the middle of child rearing. We have a 2-year-old, we have a, you know, a almost 10-year-old and an almost 13-year-old. And so we haven't arrived in child rearing. We haven't written a book. We're not here to tell you about how to do it. We're in the middle of it. But one of the things that we have found that we find very important is to teach your children to listen to you the first time so that, And this is what we tell them. We say, because we want you to listen to God the first time. When we are available to God, favor is cultivated. Favor is garnered in our lives. When we learn to drop whatever we're doing and say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me, as Isaiah did. When we say, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. If you want me to go there, I'll go. You need me to drop that? I'll drop that. Stop listening to that? I'll stop listening to that. Cut this out? I'll do it, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And there could be good things in your life that God may tell you to cut out. I personally, several years ago, I really liked to listen to talk radio. And it got to the point where at one point, God actually spoke to me and he said, cut it out. And that was about 4 or 5 years ago. And I got to tell you, I haven't done it. Why? Because he told me to. Is talk radio bad? Not necessarily. It can be. But, you know, the thing is you have to obey. Available. Are you available to God's Spirit? When God nudges you and says, when he says to you, and you feel a word, an unction. You know, we had the sister come up and give a word. She gave a prophecy. She gave a word of encouragement, exhortation to the body. And as she did that, she got it down here in her spirit. And it came up during worship, and she gave it out. Now, I'd venture to say that as she was learning to flow in that gift and flow in that gift of the Holy Ghost, that there were times when she wasn't sure. And God will be really patient with you about things like this. But after a while, he will quit tapping you on the shoulder if you don't give him something to work with. He will say, you know what? I got to get this done. She's not going to listen right now. And he'll go to who's listening. He'll go to who's listening. And so we all want to be used of God in the big thing. How many want to be used of God in the big thing? Well, what about the little thing? You have to be available. When God says, hey, I need you to teach a Sunday school class because there's no one there to do it. But you don't know, I'm gifted to preach to the nations. It starts with 2-year-olds. When your pastor needs you to do something, it's not always about, well, I have my own ministry. No, it's not always about that. And I'm not here to say that there's no validity in that. Parachurch ministries are great. And maybe you have them. I mean, I have people in my church that have ministries. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you are not available to do the things that God says to do with the leadership and the people and the local body that you are in, you will rob yourself of favor. And you will not only rob yourself of favor, you will rob those around you of favor because God desires to bring favor to the entire body. It's true. And I've been learning some of these things, and sometimes they're not easy stuff, but I know what the benefit is on the back end of it, that when you sow favor, you reap favor. When you are available, when sometimes it's inconvenient to get here a half hour early, well, you know, Sunday's my only day to sleep in. So, you know, I just want to tool in right at 10. So I don't want to volunteer for the Sunday school because I might have, you know, I got to rest. I need my rest. Well, you know what we do is we short circuit the favor of God in our lives because we're not available when God really needs us. Because we're still too busy listening to our flesh. We're still too busy listening to what the creature comforts are. So availability is not convenient. You know, it's not a convenience issue. It always involves selflessness and servanthood. The third part of favor, and if you notice, we are spelling the word favor out. The third aspect is vigilance. Vigilance is essential in spiritual warfare. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, to be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. So that's what the word tells us. So being vigilant, if you want to have favor operating in your life, you need to be vigilant. And it's not about just your personal favor. It's not about, you know, just dink, oh, I got the parking spot. Dink, I got the last pair of slacks on sale at the whatever store it was that were just my size. Isn't that the favor of God? And again, I believe it is the favor of God. But if that's all your concept of favor is, then you've missed it. Because favor is so much more. It is so much more. If Jesus himself, if he grew in wisdom and favor with God and man, then we should be doing the same. We should be growing in that favor. And vigilance is one of those things. I do not think that Jesus for 1 minute, you know, just was kind of like, oh, yeah, whoo, this is nice. He was on a mission. He was focused. Now, some of us, you know, and I'm, you know, true confessions here. Sometimes it's easy to get distracted, especially in the world we live in. Especially in the world we live in. Everything is thrown at us. I mean, you got your cell phone, you got your you know, your iPad, your iTouch, your Blueberry, your Blackberry, your anything. I mean, you have it all at your fingertips. Everybody is wired. They are wired. You know, you got things sticking out of people's ears. You got, I mean, no matter where you go, we are technologically addicted. And things are always distracting us. But we need to be vigilant because the enemy, our enemy, the enemy of this church, the enemy that would like nothing more than to just get this church to just quit doing its job of winning the lost. Quit doing its job of seeing lives transformed. Quit doing its job. He wants, oh, he hates the church. He absolutely hates the church. He wants to destroy every church that preaches the gospel. And those that don't eventually just wither and die and become museums. We are in a fight for our lives. We're in a fight for the kingdom. And we thank God that we're victorious, but we still have a part to play. And vigilance is one. We need to be vigilant. Vigilant, excuse me. The last thing, or not the last thing, next to the last thing, we need to open our mouth. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Hallelujah. Now, as people of faith, we know the power of the spoken word. I know your pastors went to a school that knows the power of the spoken word, that we've got to speak to the mountain. We've got to speak, believe in our heart and speak. And say, be thou removed. Debt, be gone. Obstacles, be gone. You know, we need to speak the word of God because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. If that is the power of the word of God, we've got to open our mouth. Now, guys, I got to talk to you because we got a problem. How many men in here? We think we open our mouths. And all you have to do is look at the marriage counseling statistics. What is the number one thing that a woman complains about? He just doesn't talk. He's just not telling me what's going on. But I told you, honey. Yeah, what, 10 years ago? Well, or I thought I told you. That's mine. There's some disconnect. Something happened at the fall. I don't know what it was, but I'm convinced it was satanic. That there was this disconnect, something with the vocal cords and the speech part of the man's brain. You know, but see, us men, we understand it because we'll walk into a room and we'll see another, you know, guy and we haven't seen in a while and we'll just do one of these numbers and go, hey. Now, right there and then, that hey meant, hey, How's the wife and the kids? How's the job? Good to see you. Glad you're here. And then we move on. Very efficient communication. Now, women, on the other hand, they see each other in a room. Oh, my goodness, it's so good to see you. How are the wife and the kids? And talking fills the room. But the guy, hey. But there was a lot in that. Heartfelt meaning. But I got to tell you, all of us, women included, we need to open our mouth and speak God's word in order to grow in favor. Amen? All right. The last one. There is reward. There is reward. Or I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead of myself. Receive the blessing. Receive the blessing. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We need to receive the blessing. Receive the blessing. Turn to your neighbor and say, receive the blessing. Hallelujah. Receive the blessing. Now, we're growing in wisdom and favor. We are growing in that. But let's look at Mark chapter 11 and verse 23 and 24. We'll start in verse 22. It's not on your note sheet there, but it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I tell you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. If we're going to operate in favor, we need to receive the blessing of favor. Don't talk yourself out of it. When you're going for the job interview, don't say, well, I'm going to be the last one to be chosen. Receive it. Walk in it. There is a confidence that comes from walking in the favor of God. There's a confidence that when you walk in, there is a faith, there is a strength that comes that says, I'm receiving the blessing. I'm receiving the blessing. I won't be denied. I'm receiving the blessing. I'm receiving it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to receive it. I'm going to receive it. So very quickly, we have spelled out favor. We've said faithfulness is a key component. Availability is not a convenience issue. It's always involves selflessness and servanthood. Vigilance is essential in spiritual warfare. And we need to open our mouth. Notice what it says there in Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Words in Matthew 12:37 can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. We need to receive the blessing. Receive the blessing. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 5 through 8. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think he shall have anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we need to receive the blessing. Now we're talking about favor with purpose. You may turn your outline over. I wanted to give you that picture of favor. Now we started out, favor is with a shield. I need 5 volunteers very quickly. 5 volunteers. And I'm looking for some men, some big guys. No offense, ladies, but just for illustration. This gentleman right here, back here. I need you to report to the usher in the back. He's going to tell you what to do. Right here. I need, there's 4 going now. I need one more guy. All right, that young man back there. Go ahead and go back to the head usher, I think. Do I need another or do we got enough? Do we have enough? We're good? All right. We're going to show you what favor looks like and contrast it to our little dinky favor shield, okay? Remember this guy? I want to paint a picture for you today. I have some props and some help with some gentlemen. All right, do we need another man? Do I need another man? One more? Come on, one more man. One more man. Right here, this gentleman right here, he'll be back there, okay? Now, I want you to see something here. I want you guys to stand side by side just for a second, just about maybe 6 inches apart just for a moment, all right? Now, these are just for visual sake, these are shields. They are props, so if you fire a gun at them, it will definitely hurt somebody, okay? Now, they are not, they're just props, they're just for show. But if I want you to see something, the favor of God is bigger than you have ever imagined it. It's bigger because I did a little study on military shields, and shields of ancient times were probably about this large. They were not this large. But they not only, and this is what I want you to start now, come with me. We're on a journey. Everybody here? Say, I'm here. I want you to come with me because we're taking favor from an individual perspective, and now I want to bring it to a corporate perspective. The favor of God needs to be on this body. It already has been on this body, but as we progress in the future and as your pastor leads you in the future, the favor of God is even more vital for the fruitfulness of what God wants to do here. Now, we have here favor, faithfulness. This is an F shield. We have availability. We have vigilance. We have open your mouth, and we have received the blessing, right? Now, in ancient times, these squadrons of soldiers, these particular props do not have anything to clip with each other, but I want you to, guys, to kind of get, just kind of get real close to each other. They would lock arms or lock shields, and they would come together like this for battle. See, Lord, you surround the righteous with your favor as with a shield. But it wasn't just individual, folks. Come on, this is the body of Christ stuff. They would lock shields this way, and even to the point that whole battalions would come together. And they had a move, a military move. I checked this out with a gentleman, Major Bob Mahara, who for about 2 years was at my church, taught military history at West Point. And I checked this whole thing out with him, and he said I was right on the money. That they would do this. Now, one of them, sometimes if they were in a smaller squadron, I'm going to have you, sir, come back here. You're going to go behind them. No, no, give him space. He's going to go behind. They would actually, and I want you to lift this up, and I want you to cover their heads like that. There you go. They would do this in military battle, and the flaming arrows would come, and they would bounce off. And they would actually run out. They would have other guys run out and shoot and throw spears and do things. But they also would move as a unit. They called it, you guys doing okay? You guys are having too much fun back there. You should see what they're doing. All right. Anyway, they would literally move as a unit. They called it the turtle. The turtle. And they would move as a unit, as one unit, and they would march toward the enemy. Folks, do you get a picture of the body of Christ? Do you get a picture of your church? That when you lock favor shields with somebody else in the body, that's why there's winds of doctrine out there right now, today, that are trying to, that are watering down the church, and there's well-meaning believers that are involved in it, but they talk about, oh, it's just me and Jesus at home. And the Bible says that the devil seeks whom he may devour. I've been to Africa, and I know what lions do. They look for the zebra that is by itself. Folks, we have a responsibility to lock shields and to get in position. Thank you very much, gentlemen. If you want to just leave those right up here, that'd be great. Just kind of line them up behind me. That'd be awesome. You can do that. Well, that's what I... Yeah, guys, come back here. Just line them up behind me, if you don't mind. Just line them up and just lean them behind. That's great. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you. They were designed to, you know, shields are designed to protect. Favor is not only designed to get you a good parking spot, but to protect and do things for you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if we're looking at this, let's talk a little bit about how we apply this to our lives. Because application, and the Lord gave me this. He said application, life application, is living intentionally, fully expecting. So when we take the word of God, and I said this as I began today, it should do one of two things. It should either give you a new revelation on something or strengthen something you already believed. Perhaps you already knew some of those things about favor, but I want to show you some things in the life of David. And so that first blank, David's life, turn with me very quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to just kind of look over David's life and see how the principles that I just shared with you, faithfulness, availability, vigilance, opening your mouth, and receiving, all of those particular aspects are in David's life. 1 Samuel 16, praise God forevermore. You getting something out of this morning? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't go to sleep. It's not over yet. See, best is yet to come. This is what I about had the glory fit this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know if that's proper to say a glory fit, but all right, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Praise God forevermore. Now, the story of David, I would encourage you to read, and I gave you the chapters of that for our purposes that I want you to go into. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're not going to read every verse. I want you to notice what happens. David is the youngest of a bunch of brothers, right? And so God has rejected Saul. He's rejected Saul, and God wants to appoint a new king. So he sends Samuel to appoint a king. Now Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, verse 10. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." I want you to see something about David. The first thing that we notice about him is he's faithful. Where was he? Keeping the sheep. Wasn't he? So when God's looking for somebody and the favor of God comes on you, what are you doing? What are you doing? Guarantee you're not just sitting at home watching Oprah. "I'm going to preach to the nations." But we're sitting at home. And we won't teach a Sunday school class. And we won't clean the toilet. Come on. I'm just telling you the truth. We live in a society where everybody wants it now and nobody wants to wait. But here, David, the first thing we see about his life, and you can look it up in 1 Samuel, it's right there, 1 Samuel in verse 11, and he was keeping his sheep. He was keeping the sheep. Everybody say, keeping the sheep. Now, that shows the principle of faithfulness in David's life. Now, the next principle that I want to show you is in chapter 17, the story of David and Goliath. The story of David and Goliath, and I know that many of us, maybe you have read it. If you have not read it, if you're new to the Lord or you haven't had a chance to, I encourage you to read the entire story of David and Goliath. And read it, and you'll see it in a different light. I was recently with a minister who was ministering along these lines, and some of these truths just really stirred up in my heart when it came to favor. The next part that we see David operating in favor in these principles that I shared with you earlier, we see that David in verse 17, then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp." So Jesse now asks David to be an errand boy. What was he? He was available. He didn't say, "No, I'm busy. I'm keeping my sheep. I got my own ministry. I can't help you out, Pastor Jay. I'm too busy with mine." Don't you know that I'm called to preach to the nations? Start in the youth group. Change somebody's life. Pour into them. It's not easy. Your flesh wants to scream. Your flesh says no now. But David knew he was anointed. Did you know that? I mean, this was not by accident. And he was 17 years old. So don't tell me teenagers can't be faithful. Don't tell me teenagers can't be available when their parents or their pastor or their youth pastor say, hey, can you do this for me? I've got a young man right now who blesses me. Blesses me. He drives an hour and change to come to my church. Guy in college. But he's got the call of God on his life. And I pick up the phone and his nickname's PT and I say, PT, I need a favor. And he says, yes, pastor, what can I do for you? I'm not talking about hyper control. I don't force it on him. It's his heart toward the Lord. I just get the benefit of it. Because he's cooperating with the leadership that God has put in his life. I'm his pastor. And I'll say, hey, can you do me a big favor? I know it's a big one, but I really need a favor. And you know, he'll say, let me see what I can do. Most of the time, you know what he said? He'll say yes, and then he figures it out later. That's availability. That's saying, here am I, send me. Okay, Lord, whatever that means. Whatever that means. So we see availability in David's life. We see availability in his life. The next thing that we see in our principles of favor is that we see after Saul, now we're not going into the detail of the story of David and Goliath. I'm showing you some principles. I encourage you to go and read this yourself. We don't, for time's sake, we don't have time to do it. We know that he eventually killed Goliath. How many know that? Okay, great. All right. But the next portion of us seeing our principles of favor involved, notice in verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David was rehearsing his resume with King Saul, and he said, I have been vigilant tending my father's sheep, and I wouldn't let a lion get them, and I wouldn't let the bear get them. You need to be vigilant when it comes to this church. Don't let gossip, don't let division, don't let grumbling try to destroy what God is doing. And no one told me to say that or anything like that. I just feel like it's important that we always need to be reminded that we have, everybody in here has a responsibility to be vigilant, to guard this amazing group of people that God has gathered together from all walks of life to be a beacon right here on, is it Hamburg Street? Right here on prime real estate that God already gave favor to you in order to give you this some 9 years ago, and how for almost 20 years this church has been a beacon in this community. But you need to be vigilant as David was. David was vigilant when he watched his father's sheep. Now go with me real quick. All right, I want to keep moving here. All right, the next thing that we see is in verse 43. And so the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day I will deliver you into my hand. The Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. I can't say it like Brother Mark Hankins, but you can't run at your giant with your mouth closed. You run at your giant with your mouth open. Because there are power in your words when you speak God's word. That's good. Now, there is power in your words. So we see that not only was David faithful, he kept his father's sheep. Not only was he available when his father said, I need you to go run an errand for me, boy. Don't you know I'm king? He didn't say that, did he? 17-year-old, he knows he's been anointed. You know that everybody in that neighborhood knew something was happening because the prophet showed up. And when the prophet dumps a gallon of oil on you, you know something's going on. He wasn't stupid. He knew something had happened to him. He knew because he fellowshiped with God out in the fields. He was faithful. He was available. He was vigilant. He would protect the sheep at all costs. He said he killed the lion and the bear with his bare hands. This guy was no wimp. And when the Philistine was mouthing off, he went at his giant with his mouth open. You want to grow in favor? Then you open your mouth with the word of God and you watch what God will do. He will deliver your enemies into your hand. He will take down those obstacles that have been in your life, and you're going to experience favor like never before because you're going to lock shields with somebody else. You're not alone in this. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not alone. See, favor, the favor of God is not just for you. It's for others. And when you operate in it, it'll break open some other things for other people. Now look at what it happens. Now we've just gone through these faithful principles, right? Look at what happens in, we're going to go ahead and look at the next thing, which is the receiving of the rewards. The receiving. Say receiving with me. Receive the blessing. Receive the blessing. Verse 52 of chapter 17. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted, pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shamara, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. Whew. Come on, folks. We have to receive the blessing. Receive it. There are blessings that are awaiting this church. Favor with God. Favor with the community. Favor with people. That I don't know why we're going to let you do this, but we're going to let you do this. That is linking arms, linking favor shields, and doing what God tells us to do, and experiencing favor like never before. All right, so we're making life application to this. What about our life? Our life. Colossians 1:10. 1:10, our life. Colossians 1:10. Hold that thought. Let me just, I have the references there in Chronicles 11. Go back to David's life. I can't get away from this. The Holy Ghost wants me to bring this to you. Favor, corporately speaking, opens up blessing for everybody involved. You are blessed because you're a part of the. You're a part of favor. Other people linked shields to see this building, to see this church be built. And it's not about the building, it's about people. But understand that God still uses buildings and assets and blessings to bless the people, the church. And so you have a space to meet in that's nice. And he did that because somebody broke through and broke through the barrier, if you will. David had 400 men that were all cowards, wimps, in debt, and disgruntled in the cave of Abdullah. They all became David's mighty men. How did they become David's mighty men? Because David paved the way. He paved the way, and they followed suit. When he operated in these principles of favor and faithfulness and availability and vigilance and opening his mouth and receiving the blessing, others came alongside, and there was, if you will, a ripple effect. Because if you read about the mighty man in Chronicles, you will find out they all died and went to their grave wealthy, prosperous, and they, when David met them, they were in debt, grumbled, and really broken men. But they became something because they hooked up their shields with somebody else. It is vital that you do your part. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have to do your part. Colossians 1:10. I love the book of Colossians. It's one of my favorite books in the New Testament. Specifically, my theme verse in life, that we proclaim him, admonishing him, teaching with all truth, that we might present everyone perfect in Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, though, we have an admonition from the Apostle Paul, and he said, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. God desires you to walk in the favor that he's given you. He desires you to walk circumspectly. If you turn real quick, you're there in real close to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're almost done. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There is favor that's available to you and me, but it's favor with a purpose. It's favor that is supposed to be, not just for me to get my little parking spot, but the next point, that our corporate life, it is favor for the corporate well-being of those I'm in relationship with. So David's life is an application. Our life is an application. We see how David applied the living intentionally, fully expecting God to show up and do things in his life. We see how in our life we need to do the same. We walk circumspectly. We walk worthy of our calling. And then the third thing, our corporate life. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verses 1 through 5. I just trust that God is just speaking some things to all of you and encouraging you as a church. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5 is just, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are living stones in the body, in the house of God. You matter. See, God deals with people. On the one hand, he deals with us individually. Jesus died. You need to receive salvation individually. But God deals with his church corporately. And sometimes we forget that. We think it's just me and Jesus. I don't need any pastor. I don't need any of this. I just, me and the Holy Ghost. And there is a truth to that, but you isolate just on that and you rob yourself. Why did God give ministry gifts to the body? To perfect the saints and to build the body. You see, we don't, when we stub our toe, we don't yell at our toe, do we? But the body hurts. You still have a part to do. When you don't do your part, the body hurts. When this favor shield doesn't work because, let's say, John is AWOL, there is a hole. Or when John's too busy doing his thing. We all have a part to play. If you look at the book of Revelation and you see in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, Jesus doesn't come to a bunch of individuals and say, you know, he doesn't look at, you know, somebody, what's your name? I'm sorry. Carmella. He doesn't look at Carmella and say, now, Carmella, I know your works. You did this good and you did that good. There is an aspect that that's going to be true for all of us. We're going to have to give an account of our actions. But when Jesus addresses the church, he addresses a corporate body and says, I know your works, doesn't he? He knows the works of abounding grace. He knows what you're good at, and he knows what you're not so good at as a church, because he looks at the body of Christ. Yes, he looks at us individually. Don't go away from here and tell your pastor, listen, He does look at us individually, but we have to understand and see the other side of the coin. Corporately, God looks at this church. And he looks at what you do together when the shields are locked together. And the favor of God, and you move forward into this community with the life-giving, life-transforming power of God, and miracles, signs, and wonders happen on the streets, and things happen wherever you go. I'm telling you that the favor of God is not just about your parking spot. Thank God for the front space at Christmas time, but I have to tell you, when I see people saved, and I see people filled, and I see young people coming into the church and crying, I mean, just because they're touched and asking questions because God has touched their life. That's the favor of God drawing people. That's the favor of God that will protect you. That's the favor of God that will take this church to the next level. That's the favor of God that will see lives transform when you lock favor shields with somebody else and say, let's go get some territory for the kingdom. Can you say amen? Stand to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet right now. I want us to act on that. We're going to just make a confession. How many know what confess? Do you ever make confessions about yourself? Hallelujah. Everybody in here? Come on, confessions are good. Confess the word of God. Don't run at your giant with your mouth shut. Come on, man. Open your mouth. It's okay to say amen every now and then. Amen. Or sometimes you might have to say, oh me. Just say this out loud with me. Say, I grow in favor with God and man. My favor shield protects me. It opens doors for me. As I walk in and apply your word to my life, I will follow the way of faithfulness. I am available to be used by you as you direct me. Moment by moment, I walk with vigilance, listening closely to your Holy Spirit to direct and change my course as you choose. My spiritual weapons are strong in God, and I engage in, and I'm victorious in spiritual warfare. My favor shield not only benefits me, but those around me, my family, my employment, my local church, the body of Christ. I hook my shield together with believers to see territory expanded for the kingdom of God. Jesus is glorified in my life. In Jesus' name, I decree it. So be it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't like to finish a time of ministry out without giving an opportunity for people to accept Jesus Christ into their life as Lord and Savior and to start that life, the same life that July 5th, 1980 changed my very destiny and allowed me to just have some amazing things with God. I want to encourage you, young, old, mature, wherever you're at, whatever stage your life you're in, you can accept Jesus and he can change your life. With every head bowed right now, every eye closed, if you're here today and you need to have Jesus Christ come into your life, you need to receive Jesus. I want you to slip up your hand and say, that's me. I want to ask Jesus in my life. I want to grow in that favor of being able to have a relationship with Jesus. The Bible tells us that we believe in our heart, we confess him with our mouth. If that's you and you've never asked Jesus into your life, I want you to slip up your hand and just wave at me and say, that's me. I need to ask Jesus in my life. Is there anybody at all this morning? You say, I need to ask Jesus into my life. If I were to die today, I don't know where I would go, heaven or hell. But today, I really want to know. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand. I'm just waiting just for a moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to recommit your life to Jesus. If that's you, you say, I've known the Lord, but I've been doing my own thing. And I just really want to recommit to him, my way, my life, my all. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand and say, that's me. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? All right, let's just pray right now. Say, Father God, I come to you. and ask that you'd forgive me. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he died for my sins, that he rose again. And today, I make him my Lord, my Savior, my all. I recommit my life, my all, my purpose to the plan of God. And I choose to live for you, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me, for cleansing me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen. Last and third, invitation. If you're here today and you desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we're a spirit-filled people. We're a spirit-filled bunch. If that's you and you desire to be filled and endued with power from on high, as it says in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, all through the book of Acts and the epistles, that you want to receive that Bible experience, I'd like you to just, wherever you are, just slip out from where you are and maybe come to the front. We'll pray for you. Is there anybody at all that you desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And we'll pray for you. Is there anybody? Well, praise God. We'll wait just for a moment. It's an awesome experience. We had a bunch of teenagers at RMAI Youth Camp filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, it was powerful. Then Sunday morning, I turned them loose on my church, and we had a bunch of teenagers, and they were praying for people to get filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. It was, woo, it was great. Anybody? Hallelujah. Power from on high. All right. Brother Ted, thank you.